our study on Elijah. We're going to look at his translation this evening and how he went to glory, went to heaven without dying. And that was God's doing, and it's marvelous in our eyes. Just as he took Enoch, and that's marvelous in our eyes. And just as he took the rest of the prophets by them dying, that's marvelous in our eyes. And he buried Moses, and no one knows where he was buried. And some think that Elijah, where Elijah was taken up, is where Moses was buried. Now, if that's not a speculation, I'd like to see what we base that on. But we can speculate, I guess, all we want. But what I'd like you to do this evening, as we remember about Elijah, all the different things about Elijah, turn to 2 Kings chapter 2. 2 Kings chapter 2. And we're going to look at Elijah's journey to the Jordan River in the first 8 verses, and then Elijah's journey to heaven in verses 9 through 12. As we look at the scripture this evening, and then some other things that we can take lessons from Elijah. But look with me in 2 Kings chapter 2. And follow along as I read and try to take the story and realize, okay, now this is something God wants us to know. Again, I like to repeat as much as we can so that the more we repeat it, you say, Pastor, keep saying this. Good. Then maybe all of us will remember it. Because when I do ask questions sometimes that I've been saying over and over again, I don't remember. Let's try to remember it. Remember that God, we have God's word. This evening, do you believe that you have God's word there in front of you? A copy of God's word in front of you. Yeah. Okay. When God's word, God gives us his word, and what he writes in his word, who wants us to know that? God. God wants us to know that. So whatever is written here, the Spirit of God wants us to know that. I chuckle. My wife was talking with Liz. I think it was Liz talking with Liz. And they were making, Aaron's wife, and they were making Valentine's cards for their neighbors. And Ella, the 4-year-old, Ella says, puts it in there, says, I love the Holy Spirit. They're unsaved. They're talking about across the way, those over across the way. And she just puts in her mind, in her heart, what she wanted to put on there. And she says, out of the blue, she puts in there, I love the Holy Spirit. That made me think of that when we think, did you know what? The Spirit of what we see here is what the Spirit of God wants us to know. So we better look at it as that. And sometimes when we look at it as really the Word of God, and this is what God wants us to know, maybe we'll zero in more on it. Because here's a life about a man God wants us to know. He knew all about Elijah, what he was going to do and what had happened and what he was doing then, just as he does yours. It's the same God that loves you. He does not love you any less than he loved Elijah. He doesn't love you anymore. He doesn't love Elijah anymore or less. But he used him in a way for his plan, in a way to get us where we are today. And we need to learn about that. So as we read, let's look at what it says. And it came to pass, when the Lord would take Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. And Elijah said unto Elisha, I'll have to, so we know which one we're talking about, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Bethel. And Elisha said unto him, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they went down to Bethel. Some people say, there are some commentators, and I disagree with them wholeheartedly. They can have their own opinion, because it's not based on Scripture and truth. I do care when it's based on Scripture and truth. Some think that Elijah was a loner and just was sort of a hard guy to get along with. I just disagree with that, because you look at all the examples. Look at Elijah's life. He had to go and say some rough things to people. I mean, he had to go to kings and say, by the way, there's going to be a drought for 3 years. By the way, you're going to die and the dogs are going to lick your blood. Your wife's going to die and the dogs are going to eat their bones. I mean, there's some tough things. They're going to come and they're going to say certain things, and there's going to be fire come down from heaven, and there's going to be 50 soldiers die. You know, there's a lot of things that didn't. But look at him at Cherith. He was alone there. But then he moved him to where? The widow at Zarephath. And he stayed and he lived there. Sounds like he got along pretty good. I think what it is here is realize God told Elijah to go do what to Elisha? To anoint him. And so God knew that Elijah was to mentor who? Elisha. And Elisha knew that Elijah was his what? Mentor. And so God had gripped Elisha. Remember, left his home and his family business that was probably well off, and left that, and had a party as they left and said, love you, mom and dad, and serve and everything. But God's called me to go do the work with Elijah and to do the work of Elijah when God takes him to glory. And so what we really see is Elisha's commitment here, but it also very well could be we see that Elijah might be finding out what Elisha's made of. It very well could be finding out by testing him. Because look at as he goes, where he goes, and it's, notice it's sort of in reverse, but it's the same way that the children of Israel went. And so many times what they're thinking is Elijah would have been a representation of who? Moses, taking this trip all the way to the Jordan, and the Jordan River dividing apart, which would have been like the what? The Red Sea with Moses. Speculation, but yet very, very well could be on that speculation. And so that would make Elijah who? Joshua. The same assistant as he was mentored. Did Moses mentor Joshua? Did Elijah mentor Elisha? And so we see that very well, that the similarities of the two stories as Elijah tests Elisha three times, probably testing him for his commitment. But Elisha's faithfulness to his call, he was determined to be with his father in the faith till the very end. Elisha refused Elijah's suggestion to remain comfortable at Gilgal. Look what it says, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. No, it might be comfortable because I've got to go further. No, I'm going with you. God called me, and I'm your assistant. I'm here until the end. I'm not going anywhere. You're stuck with me, Elijah. I wonder if Elijah just didn't smile. It don't you like doing things with people? Don't you like being able to do a job together? As we say, many hands gets the work done quick and fun, a little more fun. Yesterday again, men were working, and then Gary and Bob were there doing some painting. And just after each other, you know, telling each other how terrible a job each one did, you know. But they just, it's just wonderful to see and hear. You like doing things with others. And so follow along in verse 2, it says, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Bethel. Now the Lord sent me to Bethel. Elisha said unto him, as the Lord liveth, thy soul liveth, I'll not leave thee. So they went to Bethel. And the sons of the prophets that were at Bethel came forth to Elisha. The sons of the prophet would be other ministers from the prophet's college, Baptist Bible College, or whatever it was, you know, the college university. And said, knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he said, yes, I know it. Hold your peace. Some translate or some paraphrase say, shut up. Yeah, I already know that. Be quiet. What? Notice it says that these 50 prophets, they knew that Elijah was going to be gone, was going to be gone. They didn't know exactly how. But undoubtedly, the Lord directed them and showed them. And then Elisha says, yeah, I already know that. So either Elijah had already told Elisha, which that possibly well could have been, or who told him? Could have been God told him. It goes further in verse 4, and Elijah said unto him, Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Jericho. And he said, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they came down to Jericho. And the sons of the prophet that were at Jericho came to Elisha and said unto him, knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he answered, yes, I know that. Go and hold your peace. And Elijah said unto him, tarry, I pray thee here, for the Lord has sent me to Jordan. And he said, as the Lord liveth, thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And they too went on. The unified there. They went on together. We don't know exactly, but we do know his answer. We do realize that as we look at the very truths that we have in front of us, Elisha did not want to miss out on any opportunity to receive God's blessings in his life. So he stayed close to Elijah. He knew he was a man of God. He again refused to put away his comfort ahead of any possibility of receiving a special blessing of God. He said, listen, I'll go over there if I have a blessing of God over that. It might be comfortable at Jordan, Gilgal, or Jericho. Might be nice there, nice house. But I already had that at home. I've left that. I cannot miss the blessings of God. Do you feel that way this evening? Would you go anywhere in order to see the blessings of God rather than be in comfort of your home? The Lord is one that wants to direct us. And what he just wants is a spirit of willingness. Elisha was committed. That's what he wants, a heart of commitment to our spouses, to the job that God's given us, to possibly a new job, or new direction, or new this or that, but he wants our commitment to him. And no matter where that might be, people, you know, you leave your home, and do you really want to go back to it? Honestly, you know, I'm a Michigander. I have no desire to go back to Michigan for any rest of my life. God has directed me in different ways. Loved it there. Love it. It's the best state in the United States. My opinion, but I live there, okay? It's not the most conservative one, believe me. A little more than maybe here. But I just want to go where God directs me. That's where home is. That's where safety is. That's where blessings of God comes, when you're in the center of God's will. And God called Elisha to minister with Elijah until God took him so he could take over for Elijah. And he was comfortable in the middle and center of God's word, will, and he would not go any other place. And he was comforted with that. And so we see that that truth. And then notice he goes on in verse 7, and 50 men of the sons of prophets went and stood to view afar off, and the two stood by Jordan. And Elijah took his mantle, wrapped it together, and smote the waters, and they were divided hither and thither, so that they too went over on dry ground. And it came to pass, when they were gone over, that Elijah said unto Elisha, ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. Don't you think Elijah was discerning? Elijah saw that he wanted to ask him something, or he might have just said, listen, I'm going. Is there anything you want to ask? Because he could have said, now, I know you're going to take over the ministry for me. This is what I'd like you to do. And this is what... No, he didn't say any of that. He just said to him, okay, what's on your heart? Elisha, what is on your heart? and we see his answer. Elijah just simply asked Elisha to name the one gift he wanted more than anything else. Every leader needs to be right in his priorities. By his answer, you'll see his priority. Because what we do and say is our what? Our priority. Elisha already had a ready answer because of his heart. And notice what he says. He says there, in verse 9, and Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. Many people think that that has to do with he's asking Elijah for twice as many what? Miracles. That I might be not twice as good, but twice as many miracles. Now, even though that probably happened in his life, that wasn't what he was asking. Because you've got to remember that in the Jewish custom, it would have been what he was really asking for his father's portion, and he counted Elijah as his what? His spiritual father. And so he's asking for the blessings from the father. And so we see that it was not a request for twice as much of the Holy Spirit or for a ministry twice as big or great as Elijah, but for a greater degree of the inner spirit that motivated the prophet. As one commentary continued to say, the request was based on Deuteronomy 21:17, the law of inheritance for the firstborn. Though there were many sons of prophets, Elisha saw himself as Elijah's firstborn son, who deserved the double inheritance that Moses commanded, like a firstborn son serving a father. And Elisha had walked with Elijah and attended to his needs. But the only inheritance he desired was a double measure of his master's inner spirit of courage, faithfulness, faith in God, and obedience to God's will. In saying this, Elisha was accepting the prophetic ministry that Elijah had begun and declaring that he would carry it on to completion with God's help. So what was he asking? I just want to be as courageous and powerful and strong that God would give me the strength and the power of God to carry on this ministry to whatever God has. That's what I want. However, as we see, he goes and says, well, Elijah was, again, a man of God. And what did he say? Can Elijah make that happen in Elisha's life? No. So what does he say? Elijah goes and says, I can't make that happen. In essence, he's saying only God can do that. And since this is your priority in your heart, this is what you need to do. I'm going to heaven in just a few minutes. When I go, if you see me go, if that's your heart and your ministry, you're not sleeping in the garden. When you see me go, your prayer will be answered. And you'll know that your prayer will be answered as you go in the ministry, that God will strengthen your ministry and put his hand of blessing upon your ministry with that power and that guidance. Because only the Lord could do it. And so the Lord allowed Elisha to see that translation. And we'll go in a second. But just to let you know, that Elisha did have 14, Elisha did have 14 recorded miracles, where Elijah only had 7 recorded. We don't know how many they did, different things, but we do see that when the miracles of Elisha where he separated the Jordan waters in chapter 2 of verse 14, did the healing of a spring, cursing scoffers, filling ditches and water, and all these passages of scripture, filling ditches and water in 3:15 through 26, multiplying a widow's oil, predicting a pregnancy, raising a dead son, neutralizing poison, multiplying loaves, healing Naaman's leprosy, cursing Gehazi with leprosy, trapping an Arminian military force, revealing an angel army, and predicting relief for besieging Samaria. 14 things that Elisha did that was recorded in his life. God answered his prayer and he saw it. And so with the events of his sudden departure, suddenly a fast approaching chariot and horses of fire came. Notice what it says. Thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if you see me when I'm taken, verse 10, it shall be unto thee. But if not, it shall be so. It shall not be so. And it came to pass, as they still went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder. And Elisha went up by the whirlwind unto heaven. The picture there. Most of the time, I know I have, and different ones have thought, that Elijah went up to heaven in a what? Most of the time, people think he went up in a chariot riding the horses up to glory. No, he didn't. That chariot of fire that came down was represented some things, but that's what separated Elijah from Elisha for him to go to glory, because the Bible says that he went up to heaven in a what? A whirlwind. Many probably think that it would have been a storm, a whirlwind, whether you think of a tornado or whatever, but a whirlwind, or the idea of a storm. And by the way, if it was that, a storm, who guided the Israelites? God. How'd he do that? During the day? By a storm. Fire at night. The cloud by day. And that's another speculation, but it's interesting to think of how God does supply and direct. Now that chariot that we see, probably just the pillar of cloud represented, of course, God's presence. The whirlwind was actually a storm, probably with lightning and thunder. But we see that the fiery horses and chariot were symbols of God's power in battle. Horses and chariots were the mightiest means of warfare in that day. God was saying in this event that his power was far greater than any military giant. And he used Elijah as a man of God of what? And how many times he used fire in Elijah's ministry? Mount Carmel, take care of the servants at King Amaziah. And that we might look and see the truth that he had, or Ahaziah the king there. And so as we look at it, we realize that he goes and follow the reading, and then he says, Elijah saw it, and he cried, "My father, my father." See, there's the double portion. My father, my father. The chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And he saw him no more. And he took hold of his clothes and rent them in two pieces. You know what happened? He changed his clothes. And he took the mantle of who? Elijah. And that's what he took the rest of his life. Picture. The fire chariots of the horse were between he and Elijah. The whirlwind came and took Elijah up. And he saw all of that fire. I know, how could you miss a chariot of fire horses, right? But you'd be so looking at that, you would be missing what? The whirlwind taking the great prophet up to glory. And we see how he responded. He goes, "My father, my father." And look at what it says then. And Elisha saw it and he cried, "My father, my father." He took it, rent his clothes in two pieces, and he took up the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and went back and stood by the bank of Jordan. And he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and smote the waters and said, "Where is the Lord God of Elijah?" And when he also had smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither, and Elisha went over. Where is the God of Elijah? Is that the same God that you and I have? We talk to him all the time. Do you realize it's the same God? Elisha went and said, where is that God? In other words, he was saying, God, I need to get over there and start the ministry. And he took that mantle and he struck it, and he saw the great work of mighty hand of God. There's the God. No matter what problem, what truth, what circumstance comes in your life, the God of Elijah is the same God that's the God of Mark Love. That he has put his complete faith and trust in, and you put your name in there. It's the same God. And he's just got something purposely for you because you, he's created for his good pleasure. That you might have a wonderful relationship with him. And so if you're not having that relationship, he writes such things as this in our spirit to realize, where is that God of Elijah? Is he working in my life? Am I letting him? And so we see these wonderful truths. So what then are some life lessons that exemplified as we think and remember Elijah and his life? I got these from a commentary by a man by the name of Arthur Pink. And these lessons that, number one, he was a man who walked by faith and not by sight. Would you like to be a man that walks by faith and a woman that walks by faith and not by sight? You can do it. You put your faith in the God of Elijah. He was a man who walked in manifest separation from the evil around him. He didn't involve the world in the evil that was around him. He separated from that. He didn't get caught up in it. He didn't change his value system because of afraid what people might say. He was a man of marked elevation of spirit because of the Spirit of God in him, and people could see his countenance and excitement. He was a mighty intercessor. He went and God spoke to him, and he went to Ahab, who had no relationship with God, and he said, rain's coming. Rain's not coming. Rain's coming now. He was a man of courage, spiritual boldness. Would you like to have boldness? It's the same God. He was a man who experienced a sad fall. But what God do in his life? He dealt with him with very tenderly and graciously. And Elisha, as he grew, continued, learned what God told him, went out of that and finished his ministry. And God so purposed, he took him up without dying and took him in a whirlwind up to heaven. That's another miracle that happened. Think of that, being in a whirlwind and he stayed alive all that time, going up to heaven. And then he was a man who had a supernatural exit from this world. By the way, there's an opportunity. We don't know God's timing. But could it be that we would have a supernatural exit from this world? It's called the rapture of the church. A supernatural exit. If God were to come tonight, we'd be just like Elijah. Maybe God won't come tonight. And maybe we'll be Elisha. And he died a special death. And even in his death, we see possibly things happening. So, why did God use Elijah to accomplish his will? Why did God use Elijah to accomplish his will? Why is that? Well, let me suggest a few things. And then what I'd like to suggest at the end of it, we'll review those things and try to take those principles in our life. Number one, he was a man of God. Why God used him? He was a man of God. As a man of God, he is one of those special people who had access to God's power to work miracles. In spite of his human weaknesses and failures, God still used him to do his work in this world. Do you and I have weaknesses? And what did Paul say? Of whom I am what? Chief. God still used him. God can use you. And at work where you're at, He can use you in a special way. Because as a man of God, he was committed to the Lord. As a man of God, he would not compromise his convictions. In spite of his human weaknesses and failures, God still used him. God, beyond anything else, wants to honor God, his own name, without compromise. And so we see that he was a man of God. He was a man of prayer. As a man of prayer, he was one of those unique people who saw God respond in very unusual ways. We see that in James 5, 17 and 18. The connection is clear. The man of God was also a man of prayer. Elijah's motives in prayer were to let Israel know that it was God, the true one God, who answers prayer and demonstrates power. He wanted everyone to know that it was just God, as being a servant, that he carried out God's orders. Even though he's a man just like us, he prayed earnestly that it would not rain. The Bible says in James, and again he prayed and the heavens gave rain and the earth produced its crop. Because the man of God was manifested by what he said and what he did and witnessed by the very words of others. And so we see that he was a man of prayer. Every major miracle associated with life, with Elijah's life, was associated with prayer. Think of it. All we've gone through, it was associated with prayer. Everything that happened. Cherith, associated with prayer. Zarephath, associated with prayer. Mount Carmel, prayer. Even in his depression and the discouragement, it was prayer. He was a man of the word. He was a man of the word. He was a man of God, a man of prayer, and he was a man of word, of the word. That's why God used him. As a man of God's word, he heard God speak to him directly on numerous occasions, revealing his specific will. God revealed his will to Elijah. And what did Elijah do? He obeyed. God reveals his will to us in his word. In fact, as we think of that, he revealed his will. He told him to go to Cherith, and God what? Revealed his will to him. And he fed him. When that was done, he said, go to Zarephath. What'd he do? He went. Then God told him to go confront Ahab. What'd he do? Twice he told him to do it. What did he do? God's word came to him, and what did he do? He obeyed. The anointing of Elisha. God told him to anoint Elisha. His ministry was all alone. No one was with him before, besides his servant. He might have had servants, but now he was going to have an assistant that he was to mentor. And what did he do? He anointed him. He obeyed. The messengers of King Ahaziah. What did he do? Not Amaziah, as I said earlier. Ahaziah. The confrontation of King Ahaziah. What did he do? He obeyed. Are you obeying God's word? Or are you ignoring it so you don't have to obey it? Well, if I don't know it, I don't have to do it. That's really what we'd like. You know, don't mess me up with the facts. But he was a man of God. If you want to be a man of God, a man of prayer, a man of the word, then look at his word. Know what his word says. And be it, a man of the word. Rightly divide that truth. And then obey it. What's implied here? Maybe it's not a command, but look at the example. I look at Elijah's life and say, this is the way Elijah lived, by principle. I need to live that way then. Uncompromising. I need to be in his word so I can know, what do I need to obey? Well, that's uncomfortable to me. Well, Elisha, it was comfortable for Elisha to stay either at Gilgal or Jordan or Jericho. But he said, no, I won't. I'm going with you no matter what is in store for us. And he didn't know. All he knew was Elijah was going to be in the presence of God that day. I don't know if he really knew that he was going to take him up to glory without dying. He did know, Elisha would have known the story that Moses died But God buried him, and maybe he thought that's what he was going to do to Elijah. That Elijah was going to go up into the mountain, and God was going to bury him. We don't know. But we must realize the very truth in order for us to be that man of the word. So, what is our resolve? What is our resolution that we can make? Why did God use Elijah? There are three things that we've given you. Why did he use him? Number one, what? He was a man of what? Man of God. Can you be a man of God? A woman of God? Well, once you're a believer, you are. What kind of man of God or woman of God are you? Are you known as that? Because really with that comes a reputation of wanting to, that your priority is God in everything. Why did God use him? Because he was a man of what? Prayer. And he was a man of the word. Are you that? We need to decide and choose and make a resolution and make a resolve. You know, Jonathan Edwards made a resolve. And you read his resolve of his dedication to God. It's amazing how God had his heart. And so I've gotten these and many of these things from a man by the name of, in his a book on men of character by Gene Getz. And he resolves this way. And I thought it would be good for us to at least think about it and look at it. So what should our resolve be? We too can be men of God or women of God. Do you believe that? Yes. Well, in other words, men who reflect commitment to God and demonstrate his character and power in their lives, knowing that it's the same supernatural power in the man of God that saves us. Jesus saved us. So that Christ may dwell in our hearts through faith. To grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, to be filled with the measure of all the fullness of God. Think of the, as Paul prayed to the Ephesians, now to him who is able to do abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to that power that worketh within us, to him be the glory in the church, in Christ Jesus, forever, to all generations, our generations, forever and ever. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 20 and 21. We too can be men of God who reflect the commitment of God and demonstrate the character of God with no compromise with the power of God in our lives. So what should our resolve be then? Gene Getz suggests this. I resolve to always be a man of God, putting him first in all I do, never bringing his name and reputation into disrepute, and by God's grace, always reflecting his righteousness. Would you like that in your life? Well, resolve it. Can you be like that? Put him first in everything you do, tomorrow, tonight. Don't bring, and the things that you're doing, not bringing his name into his reputation. Knowing you as a man of God. Oh, that. And you know what's sad about it? It's easier today because anything that's even close to conservative, people think, wow. But do you resolve to be that man of God? You need to put him first then. And by God's grace, reflect his righteousness, doing right. Well, what would be our second resolve then? The first one would be a man of God. The second one would be, we too can be what? Men and women of what? Prayer. Men seeing God answer in unusual ways. This can happen because Elijah was praying in the will of God. You have not because you ask not. And don't ask amiss. The more we search the word of God, the more we'll discover the will of God as we pray in his will. So what should our resolve be? We too can be men and women of prayer. And so what should we say? It's suggested that I resolve to be a man of prayer, never attempting to achieve goals in my own strength alone, but always seeking His guidance, His enabling, His divine assistance and help. And when He does answer, I'll always give God the glory due His name. He wants that glory. Do you want to give God that glory? Do you resolve in your life that you want to be a woman of prayer, a man of prayer? Sad to say, we see many more women prayer warriors than we do men prayer warriors. Why is that? Well, you see, prayer shows your dependence on God. And men are men. I can make it happen. I don't depend on anybody else. And we need to depend on God in prayer. I realized now, over 6 years ago, I probably lost my biggest prayer warrior. It's not saying my wife doesn't pray for me. But probably my biggest prayer warrior was my mom. And I lost that. If she wasn't the biggest, if they were tied, okay, I still lost that huge prayer warrior. We need to be prayer warriors. To be walking. That doesn't mean you spend hours on your knees before God. You take a time alone, and that means that you pray throughout the day. As your mind is so that you can, okay, Lord, this, oh, thanks for that tree there. That's yours. Lord, now I've got to make this decision, this call. I've got to make this decision. Will you help me and strengthen me? Maybe I have to say something that they're not going to like. Help me to put it in a right way that they will realize that it will stir their conscience by a question and not, I'm just using different illustrations. We need to be men and women of prayer, just talking to the Lord, knowing that He will answer. And then what should our third resolve be? The first resolve should be we too can be men and women of God. We too can be men and women of what? Say it with me, prayer. And thirdly, we too can be men and women of what? Of the Word. Men who hear God's voice clearly and precisely as He has spoken through Scripture. Further, we can choose to obey or disobey what He has said. We need to be as God uses us, and as we rightly divide the word of truth, that we might consistently learn more of what God says, interpreting it exactly, spoken through it. Furthermore, we can choose to obey it or disobey it, but interpreting it accurately, and which is not in here, should be in there. In other words, consistently learning more of what God says, interpreting it accurately, obeying the Lord's spiritual directives, and consistently applying His divine principles as being a man of the Word. Consistently taking those principles as we see it here. I resolve to be a man of God's Word, consistently learning more of what God says, interpreting it accurately, obeying the Lord's spiritual directives, and consistently applying His divine principles. Okay, taking His word, not just, oh, well, I believe this, so I'm going to find everything this way. Or wait a second, Pastor spoke something and he showed me something through God's word, and that's not what I've always believed or thought. But I'm going to still stay there. You need to search the scriptures and rightly divide it. Is that what God has, as we might be men and women of God's word, and applying those divine principles? So lastly, what do we conclude? Since Elijah was a man just as we are, James tells us, why don't you take the challenge to be a man just like Elijah? The Bible says Elijah was a man, human just like we are, but now let's take the challenge in his spiritual life and be a man like Elijah. And what was Elijah? He was a man of what? Say it with me. He was a man of God. And number two, he was a man of prayer. And number three, he was a man of the Word. Let's make that resolve. Let's take that challenge and be a man just like Elijah. Lord Jesus, thank you.